Welcome back to another episode of The Political Life. We just finished part one of the April Mims interview, and now we are starting part two because I have not even gotten to the point of you coming on, which is to talk about your current employer and all that you're doing and what they're doing. Yes. All right. The first time our listeners became familiar with Him and Hers was when Chris Massey was on. I can't remember if Chris was at, I think he might have been at Him and Hers, or anyways, talked about it. So to start off, why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about Him and Hers, the healthcare company, the telehealth, and give them kind of an overview.
Yes, happy to talk about Hims and Hers. So Hims and Hers is a direct-to-consumer telehealth and wellness platform. We are dedicated to destigmatizing healthcare and making it easier for people to access the care they need. We're available in all 50 states. And what's beautiful about our platform is that you can go directly to your laptop or mobile phone and fill in some personal information that's protected on your site and get access to a provider who can help you with a range of conditions from sexual health, skin care, hair loss. And what I really love about the platform is that they're incredibly mission driven. They recognize that there are so many conditions out there that you don't feel comfortable going to your primary care provider about, or really because of the inconveniences of being able to get a primary care appointment. You just want to be able to get care from the convenience of your home or from your car. We know the average time that it takes to get access to a primary care appointment is over 20 days to schedule. And so this is really taking advantage of so many things out there, like mobile phone, the proliferation of the mobile phone, the ability for us to use generic prescriptions and how they've become available and made getting treatment so much more affordable. And so I've been really blessed to be a part of this team, to see it grow. We've recently launched mental health care within the past couple of years. And so as we know, especially post-pandemic, this is incredibly helpful and incredibly needed in our society. And so, you know, just looking forward to chatting a little bit more about the company and what we're up to and some of the policy work that we're doing in states and everything related to health care and virtual care.
Tell us about the name.
Yes. So Hims and Hers, it started out, I will say, as Hims. So Hims was the way that it started. It launched back in November of 2017 and was really dedicated to this idea that men in particular are not great at knowing when they need to see someone. And so the way that the story, as I understand it, was told is that our founder was talking to his sister. And, you know, they were, you know, in their late 20s and I think meeting somewhere. And she said to him, "You really need to take care of yourself. Let me make an appointment for you to see, you know, a skincare specialist or, you know, whatever else was going on." And I think that really sparked the idea that there needed to be a way in which men in particular could get access to care, whether it's sexual health, skincare, hair loss, you know, from the convenience of their laptop or their mobile phone. And that's really how this idea was conceived. And interestingly, it was also part of what's called Atomic, which is kind of like a startup incubator. That was really how the concept of him started. And my understanding was that it was so supported that Andrew Dudum really took this on as the company that he was passionate about, that he wanted to see through, that he wanted to help build out. And so a couple of years later, they launched Hers, which was sort of the sister side of the platform, which was dedicated to some of the same issues, but also included birth control. And, you know, it's really just been full speed ahead since then. The company went public last year. So in January of 2021, one of the youngest companies, I believe, to go public. And so we've just been moving full speed ahead And it's been really exciting to see the company grow, build new partnerships, expand across different states, launch into new types of care. And I think this is something that, especially for the younger generation, it's a natural evolution of the healthcare system. You know, people don't always want to be in person. People don't always want to be face-to-face, real-time synchronous. You know, they want to be able to get care that's convenient, that's safe from the comfort of their mobile phone or from their laptop. And as long as providers can meet the standard of care, this is a great way for us to increase access, you know, and for people in rural communities or maybe in urban communities where they don't have access to a clinic or a health system to be able to get the care that they need. And especially during the pandemic, boy, did we learn how important telehealth is to all of our communities.
I mean, from founding to going public in about 4 years, that is incredibly short, really incredible. You mentioned synchronous. Can you explain that? Why is that so unique, or what is the meaning of that?
Absolutely. So synchronous is just a fancy name for what we're doing right now, Jim, and what many of us have become accustomed to during the pandemic, which is a real-time audio-visual conversation. Many of us think about it as like Zoom or Google Meet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with a synchronous encounter. And often for many conditions, it makes sense. And the provider can decide based on what the standard of care is that they want to have a face-to-face encounter. But for many folks, either because they maybe don't have access to a high speed, right? Mm-hmm. connection, broadband connection, or because maybe it's an embarrassing condition, they would rather have an asynchronous encounter. And that's where you can go to the site, you can include information about your medical history, the condition that you have, other conditions that you've had in the past, and using all of that comprehensive information, that information can be sent to a provider and they can treat you just as well through that encounter. They can send follow-up questions to you. And all of this is being done asynchronously. So it's not in real time. And we really feel like, you know, this is sort of the wave of the future where the standard of care can be met. We know that Gen Z people in particular, even when it comes to mental health care, they like asynchronous encounters. And as far as scheduling, convenience, and in terms of, you know, being respectful of the stigma that a lot of these conditions have, asynchronous has just been a really great way for people to get care. Unfortunately, it's not necessarily approved in all states. And so that's a lot of where my work comes in, is working with different state legislatures and different administrative and regulatory agencies to help them understand this type of care, why it's safe, why it's convenient, and why it's going to help increase access to care.
So somebody will fill out information and send it in. And will that information also possibly include an audio or a video component?
Not necessarily. Sometimes, though, for example, if it's a dermatology condition, they will ask for a picture to be submitted. So maybe you have like a rash on your face.
Yes.
You would take a picture of the rash. Or, for example, we do hair loss treatment. So they would ask you to take pictures, you know, of the crown of your head or different parts of your head, so that they would better be able to treat the condition. So sometimes there is a visual component to it. But I think what you're pointing out, Jim, is really important, which is that not every condition is the same. And so to have regulations across the board that are the same when we know that treatment is very different depending on the condition doesn't make sense. And that's why really, the goal should be to permit asynchronous in every single state and to allow for the providers to do what they know how to do, which is use their expertise, use their experience and their best clinical judgment to decide whether that visit needs to be asynchronous. Does it need to be synchronous? Does it need to be in person? But we shouldn't just say that one form of modality isn't permitted across the board.
And so, in the example with the person seeking some mental health assistance, it may not be a video or an audio, just filling out a form or information. You send it at your convenience. It goes to the right doctor or healthcare provider, comes back to you with possibly more questions or a prescription or advice. And that can go back and forth until there's a resolution.
That's right. And as I said, you know, sometimes it makes sense. And there's a group of folks on our platform who, for whom the provider decides this isn't the appropriate platform for you. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe there's a situation where they're suggests that there might be a underlying condition. And so whether there's treatment administered or not, what's great about this type of platform is it allows the provider to say, you need to be referred out to another healthcare provider. You know, you need to go be seen in person by a provider. Mm-hmm. And what I think is great is even, you know, during the pandemic, we all know the stories. There's such a shortage of providers. Mm-hmm. They were doing everything they could to keep people out of in-person care because we wanted to limit exposure. And so what I think is great about platforms like Hims and Hers and other telehealth providers is it's a great way to triage care. So there are some folks, you know, if you have a rash or, you know, you have acne or some other condition that's not considered severe, why not keep those folks, you know, from coming into a doctor's office? It's going to take up the doctor's time when they could be using that to treat patients that need to be in person. And it's just inconvenient for the patient. And so I really believe in that way. Telehealth is the future of healthcare because it's going to allow providers to better triage care. It's going to allow care to be more convenient and it's going to increase access to care. So our goal is that whether people end up using Hims and Hers or not, we want people to come to us because we're a platform that uses humor. We use all types of ways to connect with people and make people feel comfortable talking about their conditions so that even if they're not treated, they're coming here and we're getting them care that maybe they wouldn't have received otherwise.
Right. Was it difficult getting approval in all 50 states?
Well, we're not. So we are in all 50 states. We don't have asynchronous activated in all 50 states for telehealth.
Okay.
And so that actually predated me in terms of getting all of the approvals. We have an excellent legal team that was able to make sure, you know, that we have all the various, that we've checked all the boxes that are needed to be able to do synchronous care in all mm-hmm. 50 states. And so now we're just working on the last remaining states to make sure that we can do asynchronous care. But, you know, I would say that what's really interesting about being in telehealth right now is I think even some of our legacy health systems and health plans are recognizing the importance of telehealth. Many of them have launched their own virtual care platforms. And I think they recognize that this is really the future of getting care. And as with other industries that we've discussed prior to this, Jim, it really feels like once you open the door and people have access to a new technology and they see what's possible, it's going to be very difficult for you to then close the door and say, we can't do this anymore. And specifically with telehealth, there were a number of what they're calling waivers that were put into place during the pandemic at both the federal and state level that made it easier for providers to set up telehealth platforms. And so the question now that's happening globally is, as we come out of this pandemic, you know, will states and will the federal government take the action that's needed to make those waivers permanent? Or are we going to go back to, you know, the 1990s and live in a world where people are forced to go in person when it might not be appropriate? So that's the big question.
And what states are you spending a lot of time on these days?
It really runs the gamut in terms of mm-hmm. geographic distribution, demographics. And I think it's really just a matter of people understanding what we're doing, hearing from different healthcare providers that this is safe, that it's effective, that it's going to increase access. And as you know, Jim, you know, all of this is local. It's really people understanding that this isn't about a San Francisco company coming into your state, that the providers that we use on our platform are providers from that state. So they're licensed, they're credentialed in that state, and they are the ones that are offering their services on our platform. And so I think once people have a better understanding of that, and especially post-pandemic, now that they understand that telehealth is here to stay, it's really just a matter of time before we're able to move forward with some of these issues.
Well, and it's interesting too, because it's really not at all a partisan type issue, blue, red, whatever. It's just, it's unique in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think for some of our folks on the right side of the aisle who are consider themselves to be more business friendly, it makes sense that, you know, the more folks that are in the space, right, and providing services, the better the service is going to be for the patient. And that historically has been an issue sometimes in the healthcare industry that has largely been driven, you know, by health plans and by a small group of folks. What's interesting about Hims and Hers and some of our competitors is that we're actually a cash-based platform right now. That's something that I didn't point out at the beginning, Jim. So when you go on to Hims and Hers and you click on a particular treatment, what we've done our market research and are able to provide a treatment plan for you that is based off of, and many times less than or the same as your copay. And so when you think about it from that perspective, all of these folks who are on high deductible plans, it makes so much more sense if we can treat the condition for you to go this route than to necessarily go through the health plan route. And so I think that's providing so much more choice for people. And as we know, competition generally is pretty good in a particular industry. And I think folks on the right side of the aisle recognize that. And that's why these types of telehealth are becoming more approved in states. And while we're allowing more people to come into the market, because ultimately that means that the patient is going to have a better experience. And then on the left side of the aisle, obviously, access to care is a huge issue that predates telehealth, making sure that people who are in sort of these healthcare deserts have the ability to have access to care.
What are some of the bigger states that you're operating in that have the new laws or regulations set up in kind of the best way?
Yeah, I'll give you two examples of states that tend to have different, you know, political bend and in far different geographic locations. So Florida has a really great law in place that allows for asynchronous care. It makes it clear that if you can meet the standard of care, you can use different modalities in order to treat the patient. And our friend Jonathan Kilman was definitely part of that process, along with a number of different stakeholders and local folks, making the case for why this is important. And I believe that law passed in 2019. And then we also have a place like Maryland, right? Very different makeup of the state legislature. And they were able to pass a law to be able to approve of asynchronous care in 2019. And, you know, we also have different organizations that are really supporting telehealth as well. So I was really happy that when I first joined this role in July of 2020, I was able to work with the National Black Caucus of State Legislators, which is a body that's comprised of, you know, Black state legislators across the country. They convene, they talk about the issues that are important to the Black community. And I knew, especially during the pandemic, that this would be something that they would be interested in learning more about. And so they were able to approve of a resolution, I believe in December of 2020, making the case for why the pandemic has had a huge impact on the Black community. Unfortunately, you know, Black people during the most difficult part of it were dying at twice the rate of white people, and how telehealth is one of many tools that's going to increase access to care, and that the definition that we use should be modality neutral, you know, assuming the standard of care can be met. So you think of an organization like that that was able to embrace telehealth. And then we've also worked with groups on other sides of the aisle, like Americans for Prosperity and some of those other organizations that are usually very politically opposed. But everyone's really understanding that telehealth is important post-pandemic, that this is really the only way, especially in industries like mental health, where we're going to have enough providers out there to be able to treat patients. There's just such a shortage of providers that if we don't start providing more ways for people to be able to provide care, I would even say across state lines and using mediums like telehealth, we're just not going to be able to meet the need.
Well, April, this has been so great to have you on. It's so great to hear about your career and Hims and Hers. As I've said, we have never had a two-part show in the history.
Really?
I'm sure Jonathan's going to take full credit.
Absolutely.
But yeah, this has been great. And so for our listeners out there, definitely go check out Him and Hers. It's really an incredible company. And I remember when Chris Massey talked about it and just saying how it was really going to be the healthcare of the future. I have to say, April, I was like, really? Come on. And it turns out, I really think it is. And it's incredible. So I encourage our listeners, go check it out. And you can check out links to April, her bio, and LinkedIn connections in the show notes. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. You can sign up for our email, which comes out with the show. You can do that at thepoliticallife.com. And April, it was so great to have you on. So great.
It's been such a pleasure. Thank you, Jim.
And good luck with the rest of your legislative sessions as we're winding down here. And we will talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
All the best. Bye now.
Bye-bye.